Chapter 6. Exit Music.
Wait! The first thing that hits me is the freezing cold wind. It bites down on my exposed skin like a rabid dog, nearly making me choke from the pain. The vision of events from what would have been 10 seconds ago are still fresh in my mind. A firm grasp on my neck and an angelic gun to my head. It seems to be a fleeting sight, replaced with nothing but pitch-black darkness. It's dark, to the point I can't even see my own hands in front of me. The ground below is like a glacier, thick and clogged with debris. I can barely place my palm down on it, for it sears my hand with its icy touch. My body eventually manages to move again, allowing me to barely stand. I'm faced with another challenge as I feel a stark wind blowing into my back, nearly knocking me off my feet. The force of the gust is one I've never felt before. It's almost like I was in the middle of one of Rath's fire tornadoes. I try to look each and every way in hopes of some sort of light or direction. I attempt to hold the front of my hair to keep it from getting in the way. However, my fingers nearly pierce my skin from the exponential panic. It's only now that it began to settle in. Was I dead? Did Angel die? Is this the rumored Tartarus, or Double Hell, as they called it? I couldn't answer myself, for all I knew was that I'm lost in this wasteland of black, with no way out. Yet, not all hope is lost, as when I look behind me, I can see a faint light beyond the horizon. It calls to me like a siren, the emitting shine leading me ever so closer. I take a step forward, filled with uncertainty. But as I continue to trench onward, my footsteps come along naturally. As I continue my hike towards the vantage point, just barely lit by the mysterious source behind it, a call to climb to the top finds its way to my head, already crowded with racing thoughts. The trek is surprisingly simple, save for the blistering cold gnawing at my very being. Now, I can't shake the feeling that something is horribly wrong. I'm not supposed to be here. This wasn't just any sort of mysterious realm. It has to be somewhere dangerous, especially if there's nobody around for what looks to be miles. The blackened fields alone are almost enough to warrant a sudden heart attack. The wind isn't helping in the slightest either, only fueling my anxiety. I'm almost at the top now. The dim light is beginning to glow ever more, allowing for a clearer path forward. Through the trail ahead, I've only felt an odd cracking beneath my feet. It's the kind that isn't foreign in the slightest, but one every living being knows by instinct. The light is just bright enough for me to check an odd-looking rock just in front of me. With a firm grasp, my breath hitches in my lungs at the feeling in my fingertips, smooth yet chalky. Every last denizen of heaven, hell, and earth knows this texture. I'm holding a skull. An avian skull.
Ah!
I flinch, tossing the skull down to the ground of debris. There's a wretched crawling underneath my skin, as if all my sins came back to haunt me at this very moment. The sight of what I've been walking on urges me to shut down. From here to over yonder were ancient remains, bones of tortured souls. There is nothing but. I'm at the top, but the thought doesn't even bother to fully register. I'm frozen with fear, desperately wishing for any kind of comfort. Has the worst yet to come? Or is this it? I theorize to myself. My fingers can barely move in the cold overtaking me. Finally, there is one idea that comes to mind, and I have to truly lean into it for this to work. I clench my fists, inhale deeply, and press my palms together.
I believe.
Shaky breaths threaten to break me down to nothing. I have to say this from the heart.
I believe.
The world burns with an ever-present fiery light from behind as I say these words, and the wind has come to a full stop. It was as if someone had turned on a switch. Now, I feel the presence of a being beyond my understanding right on my back. I hear unrecognizable gibberish from what feels like the deepest part of my brain. But as I come to understand it, my eyes widen, and every part of my body ceases function. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. My blood runs cold. As if it were instinct, I quickly twist around. The sight of a holy eye of epic proportions, surrounded by rings of even more, sends lightning through my veins. And as quickly as it came, everything falls away. I'm shivering in this cold, contrary to the lifeless husk of a body not too far from me, ever so still in a mockery of peace. There was nothing left to feel. Not after all that transpired. I couldn't bring myself to form even a single cohesive thought. All pain has melted away, replaced with the bitter carelessness of the circumstances weighing down on my shoulders. It was a world of apathy, one that couldn't be bothered to recognize one's battles. That's how I felt about just about everything now. Not even resentful, just completely indifferent.
God damn it.
Barely opening an eye from the ground, the observation of my friend's death doesn't spare any details. Black blood lies splattered on the dumpster's contents. The skin of the sinner has turned uncannily pale. A few joints are bent in the wrong direction from the fall. I fail to witness any bullet hole in his head, though that may be from his black hair surrounding it. But my illusions barely matter. Anon was most certainly dead. I may have thought I'd realized it before, but from that point until now, the realization has crept in like a worm does into the soil. I tried my best to keep things under control, to avoid the easily preventable worst-case scenario. I can't even do that right. There's only two important things in this kind of situation: succeeding and failing. I failed. Part of me wants to blame Anon's impulsivity for getting us dragged into this mess, but I quickly dismiss the thought each time it comes. Whether it's my own efforts or the sudden footsteps that distract me from the notion, I can't tell. Footsteps? Shit, I need to get up. There's no telling who it is, friend or foe. I need to be prepared regardless. I don't want to imagine someone like Huss coming over to the side of myself next to a dead fucking royal. At that point, I'd be in so much shit it'd make the sewers look like a bath in comparison.
That certainly wasn't your best performance.
Scratch that. This is unfathomably worse in every way. It's not ideal to be in such a vulnerable position with someone one doesn't know if they consider an ally or an enemy. I need to watch my step. This could be deadly if I say the wrong thing.
Al, what the fuck are you doing here?
I cough the rest of the air out of my shattered lungs, barely able to speak. The figure, darkened by shadow, twirls his signature microphone stand with great finesse.
Dear Charlie wanted me to observe the unfortunate soul you've been babysitting. A pitiful end for him, though I can't say I'm surprised.
A cruel laugh track echoes through his radio filter. I can't believe what he's saying right now. Here I am, crawling on the floor with a dead young man who I called a friend, and he's laughing. I'm going through one of the worst moments in my afterlife, and he's laughing. I want to knock the teeth right out of that goddamn smile. I want to so, so bad. But at that point, I'll be playing a fool's game. I need to take everything that's happened and use it to get in a better position than I am in right now. Even Alistair knows this, as his smirk only widens. He saw my anger.
I know we ain't the best of friends, Al.
He tilts his head in curiosity, somewhat surprised by my admittance of the state of our relationship.
but I need your help. I know you don't owe me jack shit, but I promise this'll be the only time.
Alistair taps his foot against the ground in intrigue.
Go on.
Is there anything you can do? Can you just take me back to the hotel or something? You're all I got.
I find myself getting on my knees to beg like a stray hound. The butterflies in my stomach only rattle my insides further as Alistair considers what to do. I'm hoping he decides quickly, as sinners are starting to fill the streets for the new day. I can't let anyone find us in this position, even if the presence of the radio demon were to scare them away. I don't want their judging eyes to mock Anon. With a snap of the deer's lanky fingers, I feel a sudden rush of green energy circling my frame. Not even a second passes by before an excruciating pain jolts through every hurt piece of flesh and bone. But before I can scream in pain, it goes away in an instant. It's as if my injuries never happened.
Huh?
I feel around every part of my body in utter disbelief. I don't know what's more surprising. Getting serious injuries healed like nothing, or the fact that Al did it in the first place. My surprise shifts into confusion, then rightful suspicion.
Wait, you healed me?
Alistair firmly plants his microphone stand into the ground.
Yes.
My head tilts, and my eyes squint just barely.
But... why?
He shrugs in response.
For the entertainment. I can't sit by and let the show end this early. I need you in tip-top shape for what'll happen next.
Hold on a second. Oh, shit. He means what I think he means, don't he?
I want to see your attempt at explaining to Stolas just how his son died a gruesome death under your watch.
Al's smile is ever unwavering. This was the worst possible outcome. The worst sinner to come across, and the worst fate left to me. I had a feeling that Alistair was willing to screw me over one of these days. But I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction of lashing out in anger. I've already felt enough of that today. I clench my throat and gasp for air. But the sudden smell makes me gag. Everything is so bright that my head throbs uncontrollably in such pain that I vomit. From what I can infer, I'm in a dumpster, surrounded by garbage and other disgusting sorts of things. The shock from what I assume to be a post-mortem vision combines with the pain in my head to result in a blood-curdling scream from my chest. I fall flat onto the floor, writhing and twitching in terror. I look up and see two figures, both freakishly tall, staring at me as if I've grown three heads on the spot. There's a rough static playing through the red one, his smile quivering, body trembling. On the contrary, the other is completely still, save for his eyes. They're looking back and forth from me to the other person. I have a grim feeling I know who they are, but there's nothing I can do other than wait and numb the pain.
Al? What the fuck? Do you have something to do with this shit? Is this a trick?
No response. I have to get help. There's nothing stopping the cannibal freak from taking the opportunity to eat me alive. Angel's the only one I can rely on to get to safety. I fiddle around in my right pocket for my hell phone as he approaches me faster than I could respond. Within a split second, he pulls me in a sickeningly tight embrace.
Please tell me this ain't some sort of joke. Are you really alive right now?
I can feel him shaking too, overwhelmed with emotion.
Fuck.
I fail to return the gesture as the pain in my head only intensifies. Unlocking my phone, I hand it to Angel and give what I hope is a comforting pat on the back, even if it is awkward. I don't know if what's happening is even real or not.
Call my dad. Please.
He freezes up from hesitation, knowing what could possibly happen to him. The wretched feeling in my stomach returns with a sharp pain. I fall over into Angel's arms and vomit once again onto the ground. But this time, it isn't only stomach fluid. Black and emitting a searing stench, I can feel my irises narrow to the size of slits. Blood. More static ominously emits from the radio demon. His composure regains as if it were nothing.
No one is telling you to help Anonymous.
Angel Dust grips onto me tighter, his expression mixed with anger and morbid curiosity.
What are you saying?
Fiddling with the microphone stand once more, Alistair begins to explain.
You are bearing witness and protecting an individual who has just proven to have survived an angelic bullet straight to the head, without significant injury. This will not go unnoticed. If you help him, you will be sharing the target your friend will have on his back.
A deep black shadow covers his frame, stealing the light from the lamp poles.
You're on your own, Angel Dust.
The intimidating deer falls into the shadow, disappearing into the dark as the lights return to their normal brightness.
But wait, I...
He's already gone.
Damn it! I'm so fucking dead. You know that?
Just fucking cool him already. I'll deal with the aftermath. You'll be fine.
I'm interrupted by another set of whooping coughs. Just like last time, there's blood. I can feel my consciousness begin to fade once more. I could be dead after this. I don't know anymore. Angel Dust takes my phone and quickly scrolls through the contacts, pressing Dad. Holding the phone to his ear, his hand visibly shakes from the terror he must feel knowing that he's essentially going to tell Dad that I, at the very least, got severely hurt under his supervision. Luckily, the phone picks up almost immediately.
Where have you been?
The voice screams in panic and anger, having lost some of its femininity with it.
Everyone is worried sick. It's 5 a.m. and you haven't returned. Are you okay?
Angel's breaths are uncontrollably heavy and desperate.
Your Highness. Fuck. We need your help right now. Anon, he's...
I can feel Angel clenching my body with stress as he realizes he's frozen at the worst possible time.
Where is my son?
Angel's eyes go wide as dinner plates at the sudden change of demeanor.
You will tell me, or I will end your pathetic fucking existence.
The thought of Stolas tearing Angel into tiny pieces at the seams is nothing short of terrifying. I snag the phone from Angel's hand and try to come up with a decent response within my delirium.
I'm okay. Fuck. I need to go to the hospital right now. None of this is Angel's fault. I'm at the V's Tower. Just come pick me up.
My voice becomes more forced and croaky as I feel the weight of my eyelids overwhelm me. A gust of wind blows in front of us as a purple portal materializes from thin air, revealing my mortified father rushing to me as I once again fall into what could be my final rest.
It's waking up.
I hear a familiar female voice speak with joy. I can't discern who it is. It brings me brief nostalgia. But immediately, I can tell I'm somewhere I'm not used to being at. Alarms of all sorts are blaring at my sides. I'm most certainly in a hospital bed if the cold sheets and noisy air conditioning are anything to go by. But that's about the only thing I can normally infer. My senses are on absolute fucking overdrive, and the result is a mixture of rage and honest-to-God adrenaline. My eyes shoot open, and my vision is clouded with different entities, of which the sight brings me nothing but utter contempt and disgust. Their deformed frames demand that I kill them. They are an affront to the Lord and should be destroyed by any means necessary. These wires are pissing me off, too. Who cares if I rip them off my body? The holes are a small price to pay to get these wretched abominations out of my sight. Oddly enough,
There's no pain from the fresh wounds in my arms and wrists.
Son, what are you doing?
There's a smaller creature with horns to my left. My first instinct is to take it by the throat and throw it as hard as I can against the wall in hopes that it will leave me alone. And so, I do just that.
Gah!
He screams in pain as the wind is knocked out of his lungs, gasping for air. I immediately rush for him, but am pulled back by numerous forces, of which I find myself unable to get free of. Something about my state of being and what I'm witnessing here is making me feral. I could feel the drool dripping down my clenched mouth as if I had rabies. But I couldn't stop. I had to survive.
The black needle.
The injured creature whimpers pathetically.
Inject it, now!
There's a break in my tunnel vision and a strange feeling in my arm, then... sweet, sweet relief. It's as if the entire weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders. Now I see what exactly is going on. The strange creature from before is actually a middle-aged imp, writhing and twisting on the ground in pain. The clothes he's wearing indicate he's a doctor of sorts. Wait a second. Is this...
Dr. Shaw?
I croak, overwhelmed with guilt. My sight returns to normal, allowing me to take in my surroundings. I was in a familiar hospital room, one which I've been in at least a few times. It's spacious and cold, weighing down on me with the unnerving feeling of imminent death. The gleam of the lights above is almost blinding. Many different types of medical equipment are hung and stored at the sides, with some of them looking very convoluted in terms of design. The freezing air conditioning and the blinding lights combine to create an atmosphere of maximum humbuzz. Each member of my family is in the room with me, their expressions ever different amongst one another. All of them had one thing in common, even Stella. There's underlying despair in each one of their eyes, confusion, bewilderment, especially Octavia, who's sitting down in one of the chairs with a concerning thousand-yard stare. She's completely still, as if she'd turned into a statue. In my arm is a small, empty needle, the contents injected deep within my bloodstream. I have no idea what it just did, but it certainly saved me from something. I don't want to imagine what I was saved from. My doctor pops his injured joints as he slowly gets back on his hooves. If there was anything I could say about Dr. Shaw, it was that he was one lively and tough motherfucker. He's seen the worst of what I have to offer more times than one. Probably goes with the territory of being the best medical professional in all of hell. The young imp wasn't just a master of his craft. He was a prodigy.
I appreciate the kind words despite your violent behavior. I'm never going to get over my mumbling, am I?
Dad rushes over to Shaw to help him up, brushing off any dust he might have collected from lying on the floor. Now that I'm getting a better look at him, he's almost a spitting image of Moxie, save for the deeper monotone voice. If anything, he looks terribly tired, presumably from trying to figure out this whole conundrum. Again, everyone except for Via faces me, looking relieved, yet expectant. Dad is the first to speak up.
Son, I can imagine things have been horrible for you tonight, but I think you owe us all an explanation. What in the hell did you do this time? Don't get me wrong, we're all very grateful you're alive, but how?
He kneels down next to me by the bed, which I've gotten back into. I don't know if he's fucking with me, or if he's being dead serious. Here I am, back from the dead like godforsaken Frankenstein after the worst night of my life, and he's asking me what I did this time. He's treating me as if I'm a liability, as per fucking usual.
Where's Angel?
I sit up, staring deep into Stolas's blood-red eyes.
He's fine, Anon. He's in the next room being checked on for other injuries he may have had. It's rather peculiar that he looked completely fine to me, though. Did he have anything to do with this? Anything at all, son?
No.
I feel insulted by the fact that he's suspicious of my friend.
Alistair came by and healed him, expecting you to kill him. I guess he didn't tell you what happened. Left it to me, naturally.
Anonymous!
My mother looks down at me with concern and irritation.
Stop stalling! We need to know what happened. Now!
It's always my fault between these two, isn't it?
It all started when I was out with Angel on one of my night walks. Encountered Vox at the very top of their tower where we were hanging out. Asked who I was. Showed him just that. And he promised to call me back. Which he did a few days later when you dropped me off at that dickhead's excuse of a boardroom.
Dad recoils at the remark while Mom can't help but hold the slightest smirk on her beak.
Told me he was interested in something I had. Or something along those lines. A few days after that, I went down to the west side to fix my bike, which got completely obliterated by some snake guy and his egg minions obsessed with machines. Got into quite the fight with him, along with Angel and one of his other friends.
Everyone looks baffled, looking at me as if I told them Michael the Archangel did nothing wrong.
Then the fuckers just do nothing as I'm practically kidnapped by Vox and his fucking cunt boy.
I feel a growl in my throat as the thought of Valentino enters my brain. I can begin to see Stolas' pupils form as comprehension dawns at him.
They set up this whole fake business meeting on the top floor. Try to get Angel and I to fuck on camera. My guess is that Val knew I wouldn't do it, so he trapped me, essentially.
I can faintly see a fire spark in Stolas' pupils as I near the end of my explanation.
Then I tried to fight him. Didn't work. Got shot right in the head with an angelic revolver.
A collective gasp escapes everyone in the room. Looks like the cat's out of the bag. Time for more questions, I guess.
But how?
Octavia breaks away from her seemingly endless trance.
That's impossible. You can't just survive that and walk away as if it were nothing.
I wish I could tell you. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad I'm alive. I don't know how.
I can feel something choking me. There's a new force holding everyone in the room hostage, and it's the absolute doom that is Stolas's fury.
I'm going to go over there and flay them alive before feeding them to the plants.
I'm going to go over there and flay them alive before feeding them to the plants.
This petrifying evil voice is one I never hear. Not unless he's genuinely going to make someone go through hell. There were very few things that could make even Mom tremble with terror. This was one of them. I've just about had enough of everyone losing their shit over a small mistake. So I attempt to stop it all.
Dad! I know you're angry, but this is my burden to bear. We need to listen to Shaw so I know what we can do, okay? Please.
I look over to Octavia, who's curled up in a ball expecting the worst. Stolas glances to where she's sitting, and I can feel the demonic energy slowly dwindle down, though not disappearing.
I meant what I said,
he replies.
They will pay for this transgression, whether you like it or not.
How in the hell do I tell him it isn't that simple? One can't just kill an overlord without consequences, even if they are a lower rank. There's always some sort of retribution for it, so it wouldn't be the smartest move. Looking over to Dr. Shaw, there's a shadow cloaking his eyes. There's nothing but dread in that imp's expression, and it pours into me with its intensity.
It's as I feared.
I gulp as I ask Shaw what he meant by this.
Doc, what are you talking about? I'm fine. There's nothing wrong. I'm okay.
He clearly wasn't having any of it.
I thought it was extinct. It's essentially lost knowledge at this point. At least I thought it was. Until now.
He's trembling, absolutely terrified of his sudden discovery. It's as if he'll have a heart attack. But he finds the moment to snap out of it and ruffles through his neatly sorted pack of case files. There's easily hundreds of them stashed deep within his personal drawers. He leans down forward to grab the bottom file.
Cold files. Of course it's at the bottom. Here it is.
Shaw dusts off the early red folder and opens it, showing us the details of whatever this mystery may be. One glance at the papers is all it takes for my concern to skyrocket. The file is written in two languages, English and High Saren. I've heard of the language before in my studies and have seen a glimpse of it, but I never thought I'd see a full written excerpt. The angelic language is so rare that coming across it through unprepared means is akin to winning the lottery. The strangest part about all this is that I can make it out. I don't know how or why, but it's readable.
Can you read the top portion, Anon?
Shaw's hands are visibly shaking as he hands me the folder.
Yeah, I can.
This has to be what I heard in my vision. It feels so familiar, yet so alien at the same time.
Then, I need you all to listen up.
Everyone's heads turn to Dr. Shaw as he exhales with a fearful shakiness, the likes of which I've never seen from him.
Anon. Satan, I don't even know if I can say it.
Are those tears?
You've got Jacob's disease.
What in Satan's balls is a Jacob's disease? It seems like Octavia and Mom are asking the same question, judging by their confusion. Dad, however, looks like he's been frozen in ice, any and all previous anger dematerializing in an instant. I can see the streaks in his red eyes as they're incredibly strained. There's an attempt at forming words, but they visibly die in his throat. He stumbles back into the wall, looking like he's about to burst into tears. I've never seen him react like this to anything. Ever.
Dad?
I try to reach out to him. There's no response.
Give me that.
I snatch the file out of the imp's hands so I can understand what the hell is happening to me. Jacob's disease. A fatal deteriorative illness classified by the replacement of demonic cells with angelic cells. This extinct disease was once common amongst the survivors of the Luciferian Rebellion, succumbing to the wounds of angelic weapons. Early symptoms include, but are not limited to, uncontrollable mood swings, disdain for unholy beings or subjects, vomiting, feral and violent behavior, apathy, and anhedonia. Late-stage symptoms include delirium, sudden spiritual delusions, deteriorating body function, internal bleeding, and inevitably, soul erasure, death. It is notable that a few cases involve immunity to angelic weaponry. The last known case of this disease is of Fornius Bune, who died in 1713. What the fuck?
What the fuck? This has to be a joke, right, Doc? You're pulling our legs here. I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. I feel dandy. Just dandy. You're telling me that I have a disease that's been extinct for over 300 years? Come on. Good one, buddy. Now let me go, and I won't be a problem.
The imp's incinerating glare shoves the words down my throat.
You have 10 months to live.
No. Just 10 seconds ago, if one had asked me if I regret the entirety of my life choices, I would have said no in a heartbeat. That if I could do it all again, I would say nope. I used to think that having my afterlife shattered right in front of me would be a cacophony of screaming, thrashing, and sobbing. Now, there is only silence. Okay, you did fuck up the goddammit, so I need a angel dust goddammit.
God damn it. God damn it.